Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is House Rules Committee Chair and longtime nutrition program advocate Jim McGovern, who joins us to discuss his desires for a White House conference on nutrition policy. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Senate Commerce Committee advanced the chamber's version of the Ocean Shipping Reform Act. A different version of the bill has already passed the House, but the committee approval is the first vote the measure has seen in the Senate. Committee Chair Maria Cantwell says Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is interested in moving the bill, but it's too early to tell just how that might happen. South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson is one of the lead members on the issue in the House, and he handicapped the odds of the version passing some form of the bill at about 80%. The Securities and Exchange Commission proposed new language this week to require publicly traded companies to report on their goals to reduce their carbon footprint. The proposal is still subject to additional public input, but the move would provide investors with more information about the work companies are doing to address climate change. Ag leaders say they're concerned the move could push additional reporting requirements onto farmers and ranchers selling ingredients to major food companies. But supporters say the effort will drive more corporations to invest energy into climate change mitigation. And finally, farm equipment was on display on the National Mall this week in celebration of National Ag Day. Top-of-the-line technology was viewed by thousands of visitors as well as folks from Capitol Hill and the Biden administration. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers and three dozen other groups hosted the event, which was used to demonstrate the latest developments in agricultural production. But consumption of food also looks to be under the microscope by the Biden administration. In the recent omnibus spending package, Congress included $2.5 million in funding for a White House conference on food, nutrition, health, and hunger. The effort has been a longtime priority of Rules Committee Chair, House Ag Committee member, and Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern. When we spoke to him on the subject, he said it's time for the events to convene.
Well, because hunger remains a problem in this country. We saw it increase during the pandemic. It's coming down a little bit, but close to 40 million Americans don't know where the next meal is going to come from. So this is a big problem. It's a costly problem, and it's a solvable problem. And that's what this White House conference is all about.
Mm-hmm. So let's say that, you know, we do have this conference yet this year, that it's something that takes place, and there's great discussion here. What is your desired outcome from the event?
You know, I would like a comprehensive plan to end hunger, to end food insecurity, to end nutrition insecurity in this country. You know, we have lots of programs out there to manage hunger. We don't have a plan to end it. If you ask any president over the many years that we've been around, what is your plan to end hunger? They might point to a particular program, but they have no plan. And in order to solve this, we have to understand that it is not just SNAP, it is not just the Department of Agriculture. We need an all-of-government approach. We need involvement by the private sector, by the nonprofit sector, but we need to have a plan with benchmarks to figure out how we're going to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of bring me into my next question there. You're talking about the different roles that you know, the solving the hunger crisis, you know, the different roles that people have. For this event, who, if the White House hands you a blank piece of paper and says to fill out a guest list, who's in the room?
Well, a lot of people, but we want people with lived experiences in the room. So, you know, the last conference we had was on this topic was 54 years ago. Some really important stuff came out of it. But too many people looked like me who were at that conference. We want people with lived experiences, those who are struggling with food insecurity and hunger issues. We want to have our farmers at the table. We want to have our medical institutions at the table, our schools, our businesses. We want an all-government approach. This is not, again, not just a USDA challenge. I want HHS there. I want the Department of Transportation there. I want the Department of Energy there. I mean, energy costs are cutting into food budgets. So this is an all-of-government approach, but we want to reach out to the diversity and the various communities in this country.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the last time this happened quite a while ago during the Nixon administration, as a matter of fact. What do you see as the legacy from those conversations, and how do you hope to use that legacy to inform the conversations at this event?
Well, out of the last conference came WIC, the Women's Infants and Children Program, the kind of the modern day, not, we call it SNAP now, but then food stamp program. So some important, you know, initiatives came out of that. Look, you know, I hope that important initiatives come out of this. Some of it is going to involve Congress. Some of it is going to involve some fresh thinking by the executive branch. And some of it is going to involve trying to figure out how we could be wind at the back of innovative initiatives going on right now in, you know, many different parts of this country. You know, I chair the Rules Committee as well as being on the Agriculture Committee. We've been doing hearings on this topic in preparation for a White House conference. I've been traveling around the country and seeing a lot of interesting things that, quite frankly, you know, deserve to be highlighted and potentially replicated. So, you know, I want us to think big, and that's one of the reasons why in the Omnibus Appropriations Bill, I actually put money in the bill to underwrite the conference. We were being told, do we have the resources to do it? Well, you know what? We removed that excuse. There's $2.5 million in the Omnibus Appropriations Bill to help the White House do whatever they need to do to bring the best, the brightest, people with lived experiences all together under one roof and let us figure out this plan.
We'll be right back with more from McGovern after this.
Farm Credit supports rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services in good times and bad. We provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. As cooperatives, we're locally owned and governed. We help agricultural producers feed the world. For America's farmers, Farm Credit, supporting rural communities and agriculture. Learn more today.
Welcome back. If the conference will happen is one thing, when is another matter. We asked Congresswoman McGovern about that, as well as what the conference's discussion might mean for the upcoming Farm Bill.
That'll be up to the White House, obviously. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time to prepare. I mean, I don't want a White House conference next week because that would be a press conference. I want them to do the work. I want them to come up with solutions. I want to vet some ideas from, you know, various groups and individuals that, you know, I've heard from all throughout the country. So maybe they may do this, you know, in a couple of steps. Mm-hmm. And maybe toward the end of the year we can, you know, have an initial conference, but there needs to be follow-up. Because one of the things I do not want to have happen is to have a conference for the sake of having a conference, to have a conference where people say nice things and then there's no follow-up. We're doing this because we need to have a plan. And we're doing this because we need to have a plan that we implement with benchmarks. We need to hold people accountable if they don't deliver on what they say they're going to deliver on.
One of the things that where that follow-up could take place, one of those areas, is the upcoming Farm Bill due to be reauthorized in 2023. Do you anticipate using information gleaned from this event in that piece of legislation?
I do. I really do. I mean, we're starting hearings in the Agriculture Committee on the Farm Bill, and I think that we need to look at how we can bolster the SNAP program so that the benefit is adequate, so that people can actually put food on the table for their families. And by the way, it helps not just those who are food insecure. It also helps our farmers. And again, our farmers play a very, very important role in the battle to against hunger in this country. So I think that some of the solutions and some of the tweaks that might be suggested at a conference would need to be addressed in a Farm Bill. But there are other pieces of legislation as well that I think would be relevant in terms of dealing with this issue. But certainly the Farm Bill is going to be very, very important in our effort to combat hunger.
You mentioned those Farm Bill oversight hearings. Earlier this week, we had the chance to talk to House Ag Ranking Member G.T. Thompson, said that he's a little bit frustrated with the fact that the committee hasn't had the chance to hear from the USDA officials that oversee these nutrition programs. Is that a frustration you share?
And let me just be honest, GT's a friend of mine. I get a little bit frustrated sometimes with my Republican friends because they seem to, always wanting to, make our nutrition programs, you know, a political debate, something that becomes controversial. I mean, you know that because we've been every farm bill somehow SNAP becomes the number one target. But let's be fair, the hearings are just starting, right? So, you know, we're beginning this process. There will be lots and lots of discussion on nutrition programs. So GT will have a lot of time to say what he believes. And I'm going to have a lot of time to say what I believe. But we want this conference because we need to understand that to solve this problem, we need to be talking about more than just SNAP. SNAP is incredibly important, but it is not the only way we combat this. Again, my critique of how we have approached the hunger problem in this country is that we've either ignored it or we've tried to manage it, but nobody ever talks about solving it. And, you know, this is a solvable problem. There are some issues that, quite frankly, I don't know how to solve them. I can't even think of what the solutions are to make sure that these problems go away. But hunger, this is a solvable problem. I say hunger is a political condition because we have the food, we have the resources. God, we have the best farmers in the world. We have the infrastructure, we have everything, but we don't have the political will. This conference is about generating the political will. And by the way, I'm really happy that my Republican colleague Jackie Walorski has been a supporter of this. Congressman Tom Cole, my ranking member on the Rules Committee, has been a supporter of this idea of a White House conference. So, you know, and at a time when Republicans and Democrats can't even agree on what to have for lunch, well, maybe we can come together and understand that ending hunger in our country is not a partisan issue, that we should do whatever it takes to end it, and support whatever programs we need to support to end it, and let's get rid of this problem once and for all.
Last question is a quick one here, Congressman. In the event that Republicans are able to secure the majority in the upcoming midterm elections, any concerns on your end about potential cuts to SNAP, other nutrition programs in the upcoming farm bill?
Yeah, well, one is I think we're going to win. On the off chance, you know, that something like that should happen. I mean, look, I'm always worried about potential cuts in programs like SNAP because, you know, my friends on the other side have so politicized this issue. I mean, I every farm bill that I've been part of, there are attempts to try to undermine the SNAP program, and it's cruel. We even have people complaining because the Biden administration increased just modestly the SNAP reimbursement level, still at an inadequate level. I mean, I challenge any one of my colleagues to try to live on a SNAP budget. You couldn't. But having said that, I'm not overly worried because I think Democrats are going to win. We're going to maintain control of the House, and everything's going to be beautiful.
Everything's going to be beautiful, and what a beautiful conversation we've had here today, Congressman. We appreciate the time.
All the best. Be safe.
We'll be right back to discuss the conference with our panel. But first, Hannah Pagel takes a look at the Farm Bill pie in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Farm subsidies and conservation programs get their fair share of attention. But farm bills are also food bills. And some of the food that farmers and ranchers produce is bought using benefits of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other federal nutrition efforts. When the 2018 Farm Bill was first passed, the Congressional Budget Office estimated the total outlays of the bill would be about $867 billion over a 10-year period. The vast majority of that funding, about 76%, goes to nutrition programs like SNAP. 9% of the money was earmarked for crop insurance, and 7% each was slotted for conservation spending, as well as commodity programs like agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage. But keep in mind, these estimates were produced before the COVID-19 pandemic. When that happened, Congress provided additional money to needy consumers through SNAP and the Farmers to Families food boxes. But there was also money for farmers through the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. However, that ad hoc spending took place outside of the 2018 Farm Bill. By the way, you can see more nutrition policy conversation and other dialogue about the Farm Bill in our Ag and Food Policy Summit videos coming soon to AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Happy to be joined by really a great panel focused on food and ag policy issues, really focusing on the food policy issues this week as we discuss and continue to discuss that White House conference on nutrition that we just chatted about there with Congressman McGovern. Want to bring in our panel here and really excited about the group of experts that we have this week, starting off with Ann McMillan of Invariant, Brandon Lips of CapRock Strategies, and Rob LaRue with the National Farmers Union. Appreciate all of you taking the time to join us. And Ann, I want to go to you first, because I know you are among the list of people that, like Congressman McGovern, have really been encouraging the idea of this White House conference on nutrition. Wondering, from your perspective, what can this conference and the dialogue that'll take place there teach us that we don't currently know about our nutrition programs and the country's hunger strategy?
Thanks, Spencer. Well, listen, I think this conference, what it can do is provide a convening that is unable to happen in Congress right now. I think when you have the Farm Bill coming up only every 5 years and you have multiple food and food system and agriculture issues spread out amongst various committees on Capitol Hill, you don't often get the fulsome view of what needs to take place to take us into the future. And so I'm hopeful that this will give us that opportunity to convene the right people, have the right people around the table, and really talk about these issues. And really, you know, come up with some creative and innovative solutions.
Brandon, I mentioned your current role with CapRock Strategies, but prior to that, you had kind of the steering wheel for a lot of the nutrition programs at the Department of Agriculture during the Trump administration and throughout kind of that COVID-19 pandemic. Wondering, what do you think the lessons learned from that pandemic and from the nutrition programs, the nutrition program governance that took place during it, how do you think that data and those anecdotes can be helpful in a conversation like the White House might convene here?
Sure, thanks for having me on, Spencer. It's great to be here. What an exciting opportunity this is. Thanks to Ann and others who have been pushing for this. An opportunity to really come together and hear from the families served by these nutrition programs. So often in the Beltway, we hear from folks who are well-funded or connected to lobby shops, but we don't get to hear from the real people, the real community organizations on the ground who are serving families in need and community. And a lot of that is what we learned in the pandemic. As things moved outside the normal routine and we had to set up new shops, new programs, even today, the new leadership at USDA continues to do that in great ways to serve folks well. We need to look back at all of those holistically, as Ann said, and talk about what's working and what's not. One more thing I might mention, Spencer, is even back since the early 90s when USDA started officially measuring food insecurity, it has gone up and down, but really at no point in time has it dropped below 10%, which means that one out of 10 families out there in this country are still food insecure, no matter how much money we spend. So we've got to look at best practices to find out what's happening on the ground that's working to identify those families that are still food insecure and figure out how we can serve them better. And this is a wonderful opportunity to make that happen.
Yeah, and Rob, when we talked to Congressman McGovern, one of the things that we asked him was, you know, who's on the guest list for this conference? And, he gave us a long list of folks, and including producers and farm groups. So I'll ask you, as the leader of one of those farm groups, what do you think should be the producer and the agricultural organization role in a conversation like this?
Well, I think, first of all, as farmers, the reason why they're so passionate about what they do every day is because we are feeding people. This is what we do. And so that tie to trying to address hunger broadly is very much on the minds of farmers out there. A lot of times the conversations around farmers and the current nutrition programs is centered around getting the Farm Bill done, but it's so much more than that. And so we certainly are excited to see this progress being made and look forward to the convening. Because farmers and ranchers, want to extend beyond the work that they do every day to kind of feed their communities and so forth, be an important part of this dialogue about addressing hunger very broadly.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. We've discussed the White House conference, but what about the broader state of nutrition policy in Washington? We discussed that with our panel. So let's talk very broadly then and zoom out a little bit from the conference focus that we've had in our conversation and look at nutrition programs more generally. And Brandon, going to you, you know, given the opportunity that you had to, you know, pretty recently look over nutrition assistance, SNAP benefits, things of that nature during the Trump administration, it's, you know, kind of a million-dollar question, but that SNAP benefit, is it right-sized? Is it too big? Is it too small to meet the needs of consumers? What did your experience in the administration tell you?
Spencer, there's certainly different views on that. I think what we now know is that we're going to find out. As probably most folks who tune into your show know, the current administration had a fairly substantial increase into the SNAP benefit based on changing the Thrifty Food Plan. With, I think, a theory that folks would eat healthier if we could provide these families a more adequate dollar amount to provide for their families. I hope that that's true. I don't know that it is, but I'm excited to find out. I hope that we're going to look at that carefully. Spencer, if you look at American families in general, we score a 59 out of 100 on the Healthy Eating Index. That's not good. That's a failing grade for all my children at school. It was a failing grade for me in college. So when we talk about the nutrition side of this conference, we really need to be looking at all families and not put an overburdened focus on the families served by the USDA nutrition programs, because they eat like most Americans do. If a more adequate benefit is beneficial in providing for a healthier population, by all means, I think there'll be a lot of interest in that. But we also want to make sure that we're moving families forward economically. And I think that's where this holistic view comes in. If you look at any of these programs in a silo, we're not looking at families and saying, how can we help you move forward? As a matter of fact, regardless of how much we spend on nutrition at the Food and Nutrition Service, food insecurity really tracks more closely inversely to unemployment. And so we have to look at how we can help these families in need, how we can wrap around to help move them forward. And again, the opportunity to convene folks from across sectors to help do that is extremely important. And that certainly begins with the production of food and our farmers all the way through to the programs that USDA runs.
And one of the things that was discussed at the Ag and Food Policy Summit that AgriPulse hosted earlier this week was that upcoming, kind of pandemic aid cliff coming up here as we look at some of this, the pandemic aid expiring, really the benefits reducing as a result. As you talk to folks in Washington at agencies on Capitol Hill, do you get any sense that there's an appetite to keep that cliff from happening?
I think that depends on who you talk to. But yeah, I know. I think people are concerned because in some pockets of COVID isn't over yet. I mean, things are definitely returning to normal, but there are, you know, lingering impacts of the pandemic that are going to take a couple more years to sort out. And, I think it's really important that we take a look at what, like just like Brandon said, like what programs really worked during the pandemic. And maybe just because they were pandemic related doesn't mean that we can't, you know, take the best practices and employ them moving further, even in times when of stability. So, I mean, I do think that the Thrifty Food Plan increase will offset some of the pandemic cliff for SNAP, but there are issues with respect to school lunch meal waivers that I think really should be looked at. And it's really unfortunate that they are not being extended for another year. You know, the summer EBT programs. I mean, these are programs that really helped people in need. And I think we all saw and were really horrified at the mile-long lines of cars snaking around the parking lots trying to get, you know, the food from the food banks. And no one wants to get back there again. And so I think these are the types of conversations that we need to have at a conference or just frankly every day, is that how do we strengthen that security and that safety net so that folks, you know, can feel confident that they're going to have food on their table.
And I can't let a panel come to an end these days without asking a farm bill question. And Rob, you're going to draw the short straw on it. But, you know, obviously we've seen the last couple of times that a farm bill has been tried to be passed on the House floor. It has gone down and largely, you know, nutrition spending has been a big factor in that. Not the only factor, but a big factor. I wonder, as going into this 2023 farm bill, given what we've seen from, you know, pandemic spending on nutrition programs, given the current political climate, do you get any kind of a sense that that urban and rural coalition that has been so critical to farm bills in the past, do you get any sense that that might be in danger?
I tell you, each farm bill has its own unique set of challenges. And there's always, you know, some combination of ways that they find to ultimately get it across and signed into law. And so I'm not about to vote against what has been a very effective and strong coalition of farm groups, environmental groups, ultimately, that urban-rural connection, as you talked about. All of those folks working together, I think, have that shared goal of getting this across the finish line. So I think it's way too early to bet that out.
Well, obviously, a number of things to keep an eye on from that White House conference to upcoming farm bill conversations. We're expecting some, you know, some House Ag hearings on the subject here pretty soon. And so a lot of things to keep an eye on. And we appreciate all of you joining us to discuss those here today. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel takes a look at hemp acreage in this week's Map It Out.
Since the 2018 Farm Bill allowed states to approve hemp cultivation, popularity of the crop among producers took off. But as farmers began to grow it, they were faced with a lot of uncertainty around market development and strict regulations of THC levels. For instance, in 2020, the state of Pennsylvania issued over 500 permits to grow hemp and 60 permits to process the crop. In 2021, the number of growing permits dropped to 426, and processing permits increased to 64. It's just one state, but lessons learned from a few years of planting are starting to set in for producers and hemp advocates alike, especially when it comes to processing infrastructure and markets for the crop. If we take a look at this map, the dark blue areas represent states with the most industrial hemp acres, and the more yellow-green states are areas with less. You'll notice hemp is grown pretty evenly across the U.S. With farm bill conversations beginning in Washington, hemp supporters hope to use the legislation as an opportunity to reform some testing protocols and even the ability to better manage grower risk. Hemp advocates would also like to see the Food and Drug Administration, which has jurisdiction over CBD products, provide more clarity over how animal feed products with CBD will be regulated. To learn more about hemp, go to Amy Mayer's story on AgriPulse.com. For this week's Map It Out, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the week to come. The budget process is set to begin in Washington. The Biden administration is expected to roll out its fiscal 2023 budget, which will kick off the appropriations process in the House and Senate. The House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee has an oversight hearing scheduled for Tuesday, and Congress will be back in town as the House Agriculture Committee has a pair of farm bill oversight hearings on the agenda. There's a Tuesday panel on horticulture and urban agriculture and a Wednesday get-together to gather stakeholder perspectives on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. As always, stay tuned to AgriPulse.com for the latest developments in ag and food policy. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.